This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Friends and neighbors, this is episode number 81 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
Thanksgiving is this week.
Woohoo!
Yay, stuffing.
I saw a very cute meme on Facebook that was something to the effect of, like, this week is going to suck, but at the end of it, there's food and shopping, so we can make it.
I do like those two things a lot.
So that's going to get me through the next 2 days because I have to work. I have Thanksgiving off, but I have to work Tuesday and Wednesday, and that's going to be the thing. I'm going to pin that up in my cubicle and just be like, all right, there's pie and there's shopping. Just make it through, damn it. Make it through. Because you know me. If you just put food in front of me, I'll do anything. So we have a woman of excellence this week. We have a young lady who goes by the name Simone Aiken, and she is a frequent contributor to the Lady Planeswalker Society Facebook group and also to the Ladies on the Grind Facebook group, which Hallie helped start. Mm-hmm. And Simone put a little bit of a bounty out there, a bit of an offer out there for any ladies who are thinking of coming to Grand Prix Denver the first week of December. Simone and her husband have decided that they're going to give a gift to the highest ranked female player who makes day two at the GP. They will pay for her flight and her hotel to any GP that takes place in North America in 2017. So if you're thinking of coming to Grand Prix Denver and you think you have a shot at that, you should definitely come. Simone seems like good people. She's certainly, anytime there's an event coming around, she asks if anybody's going, if anybody needs rides, if anybody needs food. And so if you are interested in taking her up on this, please join either the LPS Facebook group or the Ladies on the Grind Facebook group and let her know that you're interested, and hopefully we will see you there.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's really, that's so generous of her.
Yeah, and that's just so, like, I mean, those things aren't cheap. Like, I mean, I say that as somebody who traveled a lot this year. Like, when I look at my bank statements, you know, they like to itemize what you spent your money on, where it's like, you know, this is your food expenditures for the year, and this is your entertainment, and don't even go to the airline section because it's grim. But so this isn't, and she's not restricting it either. It's not like she's saying, well, you can only go to these states. No, she's saying anywhere in North America, they will pay for you, and that's really dope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Also really dope news. Emma Handy made her first SCG Open top eight this past weekend.
Woo!
Yay!
I was so happy for her, and she wants this so bad. You know, she's one of those mm-hmm. players, you know, her and Jadine and other women that I know are so hungry, and I know that Emma works her tail off. You know, she works crazy hours at her local game store, most of the day there, in fact, you know, plus grinding, plus testing, plus everything else. And this was also her birthday weekend, and so it was really great for her to watch that. And her, I love her dearly, but her matches were so stressful. I was literally at home yelling at the screen of, Emma, don't do that. Emma, don't. Oh, no, Emma, no. Just freaking out. And I was so happy for her. And so I really hope that this is sort of a launching pad for her and she can become even bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Katie, your friend Brooke recently returned to blogging, and he wrote an article for Mana Deprived about how to evaluate a deck. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So Brooke actually has a degree in English literature, and he used to write articles for Magic kind of before I met him, like 4 to 5 years ago, and he's recently kind of getting back into it. He's on the grind for L3, so he wrote that slow play article we discussed a bit ago, and this week he wrote an article on how to evaluate a deck, and it was so funny reading this because, I mean, he taught me how to play Magic, like, from the ground up, and when I read it, I just, like, hear his voice, like, don't play a bad something else, Katie. And it was, I don't know, it was kind of nice to have it, like, broken down. I wish I'd had this when I was, like, 18 and just getting into the game, because so many of the things he said I felt like took me a long time to figure out exactly what I was doing, but having, like, a plan laid out made it a lot easier. So, basically, in his article, he wrote, there's, like, three steps to evaluating a deck, and this is kind of for people who want to get more into competitive and are either looking to do that through a brew that they have or by net decking, and how to, like, pick a deck that might suit what you're looking for. So his first point is, like, what is this deck doing? So you have to look at the deck and kind of get the goal. Are you trying to win by turn four through a combo? Are you trying to beat them down and hope that they don't have sweepers? Are you trying to have sweepers and hoping not to die by turn four from an aggro deck? Kind of getting what, you know, the overall general view of the deck is. And then he points out, is this something that is a unique deck, or is he, or are the people that are creating the decks just tweaking different decks? And this is just kind of playing on, like, do you have a card that somebody might not expect, and maybe that'll help you win the game? Or are you just kind of playing the straight deck as it is? You know, everybody will be prepared for it, and maybe you just want to take your 60-40 matchups all day. Or do you want to have a 90% matchup in some cases and a 10% matchup in others? Mm-hmm. You know, are you making yourself weaker or stronger against certain other decks? And then his third point, are you violating the Prime Directive? And the Prime Directive of Magic is don't play a bad something else. And I have done this many times myself, but sometimes you just got to prove it to yourself. Sometimes you really have a brew that you love, and it's just not good enough for what you're trying to do. And sometimes it's super fun, and you can play that brew and be happy with it. But when you're talking about getting into the competitive scene, not playing a bad something else is one of those key things, I think, to keep in mind. Like, this probably should have been point number one, but when you're looking at a deck and you're like, this looks really sweet, or it would be really fun to have this work, but it's just not going to work as well as something else, or be as consistent, or have a consistent matchup against something that it should, whatever it may be, not violating the Prime Directive is super important. And I just, I mean, these are basically the steps I go through now, and it's no wonder why, since he was the person that taught me how to play Magic, but I mean, I think they're all good, valid points. When you're looking at a net deck, you kind of have to, it does take skill to look at something and be like, okay, exactly what are they trying to do? And can I do it better than them? Or are they doing it the best way possible? Are they using the best removal spells? Are they using the most mana efficient creatures? Do they have a good curve? You know, all of those are things that you need to take into account when you're picking a deck, especially if you're trying to, you know, get on the grind or play PPTQs or go to GPs and you want to be competitive. Those are all things that you really need to take into account.
Yeah. And Hallie, for as long as I've known you, you've always played, like, good decks. Like, I don't think I've ever known you to play, like, a fringe deck or a homebrew or anything like that. You know, are these things that you think about when you pick your decks? Like, how do you do it?
These are definitely things that I think about. I do know a lot of Magic players who are in the always play a bad something else camp, or or at least people who get really attached to their homebrews and won't give them up, even if it means losing equity in certain matchups. And I've always been one to choose decks that I think are good against a certain metagame, or contain cards that will punish an opponent for playing a certain strategy. So I really like this guide from Brooke. And again, because I've spent time with him, I could kind of hear his voice in my head a little bit as I was reading it. It was very Brooke, and yes. I like that. I like that. You know, as a writer, I appreciate other writers who have really strong voices, and I like that about this article. It had a very strong Brooke voice, but I definitely will share this with newer players and PPTQ players that I know, because I think there are a lot of really good takeaways from this. Like, just the first point, what is this deck doing? I think a lot of players will just take a net deck because it won something and not really think about it that much, or not think critically about what the deck's actual plan is. They'll just go into an event, play the deck, and be really surprised when they lose matches with it because, well, this deck won such and such tournament. Why am I losing with it? And I think a lot of pro players emphasize having a plan as, like, one of the prime directives, at least, of Magic, is knowing what your deck's plan is, knowing what your plan is game to game as you draw your opening hand. And I think when you choose a deck, you should take some time to think critically about what your game plan is, how you envision yourself winning games with it. And I think that was, you know, a really good thing to start with when you're choosing a deck for a tournament.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, for as long as I've known you, you've always had sort of your pet cards. You know, you've always had those cards that, you know, may not necessarily be the most optimal, but you enjoy playing them. And I know that for you, fun is sort of like the utmost priority. And so, you know, do you feel that your process is similar to this, or how do you decide when your deck is good or another deck is good that you might want to play?
Well, it's been a little bit since I've been intense on brewing, just because lately for standard, I haven't really had anything that trips my trigger. But I can definitely say that in relation to Brooke's article, that as I've gotten more competent as a player, I've definitely looked at things the way that he has and tried to be a little more critical of how I'm going about building a deck and what cards I want to use. And so I think that at least this could be helpful for people that maybe want to break out of either, you know, brewing and trying to use cards that they really want to be good, but they're just not good. Or, you know, maybe they don't have much experience with building a deck more optimally. Maybe this would be helpful for them. And I definitely think that this is a good place to start to do that type of thing. And probably when I try to start brewing again for standard, I'll probably try to implement more of these techniques than I have in the past, just to try to make sure that my decks can hang with what's going on in the meta.
Yeah, I can especially relate to the Prime Directive one, because I tend to play bad decks, let's be honest. I play some trash. I freely admit that. But damn it, it's the best version of the trash. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the decks that I play tend to be magnets for cute. Dredge especially. I had somebody the other day who was like, I'm going to take out two Neonates and two of this, and I'm going to put in Scrap Heap Scroungers. And I was like, Now, I wasn't opposed, but I was like, well, is this sort of, are you doing this to, like, plug some holes that you feel the deck has, or, like, sell me on it? And they were like, I just really like Scrap Heap Scroungers. And I was like, and especially in formats that are older, like, especially in Modern and Legacy, where the decks are so refined and they're so polished, you know, you really have to have a good argument if you're going to replace, like, almost a time-honored card or tradition. And so I feel like, especially with Ad Nauseam, we had, like, a Glittering Wish Ad Nauseam, and I was just like, oh, girl, like, bringing, like, Dromokas and stuff. And I was like, you know, you really don't have to do all of that. Like, if you're gonna be ad nauseum, be ad nauseum. Like, play Spoils, play Phyrexian Unlife, play Lab Maniac, and do the thing. You know, if you're gonna be Dredge. Don't bring in Scrap Heap Scroungers. Don't bring in, you know, Fate Stitchers. You know, you don't gotta do all that. Just do the thing, like we always say. And so, you know, anytime I see number three, you know, that's the first thing I always do is, you know, if you're gonna do this, just be the best version of it. And, you know, I feel like a lot of decks just attract cute. And that's fine if you're, like, going to FNM, if you're doing something that's sort of low stakes, but, like, if you want to go to, like, your RPTQ, there's just not a lot of room to BQ. Like, that's the time where you need to just do what works. And so number three really stood out to me, and that's sort of been my driving focus, you know, when I play the weird-ass decks that I play, is just be the best version of it. You know, don't get cute. You know, if you're going to be Reanimator, just be Reanimator. And and I think that if you are going to make those things, you know, have a good reason for it. Like, I love innovation. I'm all for innovation, but, you know, sell me on why this is better than what we're already doing. If you can't, then maybe you might want to rethink those inclusions or those changes.
For sure.
Yeah. So, Chris, speaking of competitive, you played in a sealed PPTQ the other day. How did that go?
It was definitely not my best finish, I will say that much. But I wanted to play with colors that I had not really played with much before in Kaladesh Sealed, so I decided to do green and black. My black was pretty strong. My green was okay. White was all right, I guess, but there was just something telling me, no, I don't want white in here. I just want to do black and green. So I'm trying to remember what round we dropped, because everyone was doing fairly poorly after a bit. But I want to say that I at least played four or five rounds. I ended up getting a game loss in my second round because I was next door using the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was just like, the line at this lady's room is pretty long. And I was like, came back, and I was like, Judge, I'm late. And he was like, okay, you could get game loss. I'm like, that's fine. And then I sit down and just destroy my opponent. So I guess that happens sometimes.
Wow, no big.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I had a great conversation with my opponent. And so he promptly dropped, like, afterwards. But he was a really cool guy. But I definitely want to get more practice with Kaladesh Sealed before DP Milwaukee next month. So that was one reason I decided to go. My main goal was not necessarily to do well, but just to get some more practice and to meet some cool people like I like to do, have some good conversations. We ended up going to the event at Pastimes. It was myself, Ben, and our friend Jason Myatt. So we went down there, had a good time. Didn't do so hot, like I said, but I was really happy that even though I didn't do so well in the tournament, there were other kind of little nuggets of awesomeness that happened to be there. I put a picture up on social media of the bathroom sign, which I thought was really nice to show inclusiveness at the store, mm-hmm. and I thought that was really cool. And it was just kind of like, however you identify, whatever, just make sure you wash your hands. And I'm like, I am fine with this. This is good. And I also was just very happy that everyone seemed, you know, very inclusive there. Like not that I expect any kind of negativity when I go anywhere, but especially if it's a place I don't play at very often. Like, you just never know. You know, people come from all over to play at PPTQs, and so it was just a nice, refreshing environment. All my opponents were really cool. Now that I'm, like, learning some more judge-related stuff, though, it's kind of like, oh, you can't do that then, or, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this at this point. And I'm trying to, like, shut up, Chris. Shut up. But yeah, Green and Black was okay. I had, the Arborback Stomper? I had a Virtuous Gear Hulk, so that's why I figured.
Ooh.
Yeah, I figured I have the Gear Hulk. I really should run it.
Yeah.
And so I used that. I had a Thriving Rats, not the best thing. I wasn't really energy-based, but it was nice to have it if there were things that I wanted to do with energy. Durable Handicraft was a card I hadn't played with yet, mm-hmm. where you can put the +1/+1 counters if you pay one. And I thought mm-hmm. that was pretty cool. I was never in a position that I felt good about sacrificing it so I could put a bunch of +1/+1 counters on things, because I ended up in situations where I had to trade or kind of protect myself. But I actually developed a really awesome appreciation for Harsh Scrutiny, which is kind of like a faux Thoughtseize. And I thought that card, like, did work, like, especially if you had it in your hand at the, you know, turn one. You're like, okay, well, what creature do you have? Ooh, is it a biggin? I'm taking it. You ain't getting that now. And so that was cool. I underestimated the power of, what is it? I'm trying to remember the name of the card. Where is it? Malphite Squad.
Yep.
Like, that card is, like, really dope. Like, I was like, wow.
Is that the black house one with Menace?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Fabricate one. So you can make your ladies and a gentleman, I believe. a 4/2? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at that, because people drop a card and I'm like, oh, I'm play this guy. I'm like, oh, actually, that's a lady. Oh, okay. Like, I can't stop myself from it just tumbling out of my mouth. Now, the person that I had to register his deck in the beginning across from me, he pulled, like, 2 Die Youngs, I think, and 1 Live Fast, and I was like,
jeez.
Yeah, you got a pretty damn good pool here. Like, not that I'm necessarily complaining about mine, but that was pretty baller. So it was just interesting to play with cards that have mechanics that I don't normally, I guess, feel an affinity towards. So that was just kind of nice.
I see what you did there.
And I got to play Underhanded Designs, and that card's actually pretty awesome. Because whenever an artifact enters the battlefield, it's an enchantment. You can pay one, and if you do, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. And then you can pay a black and a colorless to sacrifice the Underhanded Designs and destroy target creature. And if I at least had 2 artifacts on deck, which I had quite a few, then I could be like, oh, your big creature, it's gone now. Bye. So, even, like I said, even though I didn't do very well, it was fun to play with some other colors. Typically, in this, I've done a lot of, like, American colors and stuff, so I wanted to do something a little different. The other thing I was really pleased about was talking to one of the gentlemen that works at Pastimes. His name is Jordan. He's a pretty cool dude. And he was telling me how important it was for them as a store to make sure that everyone feels safe and accepted and everything when they come in there. And they do have a very large sign that emphasizes their store's rules. And if you break them, it will not be tolerated, type of thing. And he told me that they were actually going to be designing a sign that was going to be on the front door, like promoting like inclusiveness right before you even walk in. Now I won't spoil what it is because I want to like take a picture of it and post it when it comes. But he was telling me about it. I'm like, that's so awesome. I'm like, that's going to be so great when that happens. So I'm pretty psyched about that. But all in all, I'm glad I went. Even though we didn't do so hot, we ended up dropping and going to the Japanese mall that's not too far away and having some great conversations and an awesome lunch and just having a great day all around. Like I was very pleased with how things went. And sometimes, you know, it's not even about doing well at a tournament so much as it's about bonding with your friends or, you know, meeting other people. And so there's other things that you can take away from a tournament that you maybe didn't do so hot at.
Yeah, and I recall that one time we went to an event at Pastimes, Chris. We went to like the 1K, the modern 1K that I did really well at, and I remember that bathroom specifically because they had a cute little basket of like tampons and pads there.
Yes.
And not only was the bathroom clean, but there was also some feminine aids there. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And so so I've always had a deep appreciation for Pastimes and their bathroom situation. And they've always been pretty good about that kind of thing. So I was I was glad to hear that. Nice. And then you also started your judge class.
Yeah.
I did. Unfortunately, I was the only person that was able to make it the first week. But that was okay. Yes, exactly. And so, like I said before, my friend Blake was hosting the judge class. It's something that he seems very passionate about. Like, he wants other people to be L1, and he wants to encourage them. It's quite funny that some of the examples that he'll go over with me about stuff always involve burn, but he's a burn player. So, of course, they do. So I went over there. I went through a practice test with him, and we would go through each question, and he would be like, why do you think you got this question wrong? And so I would give him maybe an answer and say, well, you know, I see what I did wrong there. I thought about it too much. But then he would actually go kind of like a level deeper and be like, okay, this is the right answer, but why is it the right answer? Like, do you actually know the reason behind it? And so I can definitely appreciate that because he did impart to me that, at least, you know, from his perspective, part of becoming a good judge is trying to step out from your player role and try to think more like a judge than a player. He's like, you're thinking like a player again. He's like, that's why you're getting this question wrong. I'm like, damn it, I thought I was close. So I ended up getting like a 42% on that test. Some of the questions, though, I realized that I just kind of made little mistakes here and there, or just thought about it too much, or maybe I just, even though I read the question like 60 million times, I was like, oh, no, they said two creatures instead of like four creatures or something. It's like, okay, it was just a numbers thing. It's not a big deal. And so it seems like most of the class is going to be structured around people taking practice tests, and being able to kind of help each other, get through that and be like, you know, well, why do you think this is, and try to like build off one another, which I think is a good thing because having multiple people there will definitely benefit the whole group to learn from each other.
Yeah.
I also think that running through scenarios is going to be a good thing because, granted, the test ultimately will be a written exam, but to run through some real life situations where it's like, okay, you've just come upon, you know, this particular situation with these two people that are playing, you know, what would you do? Like, how would you go about doing it? And so I can appreciate that he wants to do that. And then he also recently mentioned that maybe we would do a draft as part of the program. So I think that that would be really awesome. I don't know exactly what ideas he has cooked up for that quite yet, but I just really hope to get a lot out of it. I feel like I'm already benefiting from going over the practice test with him, going through some scenarios, and then because this is just the way I learn, I made some flashcards for myself. He's like, oh, you don't need those. And I'm like, no, I do. Like, this is how I got through mortuary school. Like, I have to be able to write down something.
Wait a minute. You made mortuary flashcards?
Yeah. For like,
what do you put
stuff
on mortuary flashcards?
Well, just like being like, okay, well, where is this vein located? Where is this artery located? You know, where is the insertion point for these muscles? Like, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Insertion points, just,
yeah, they're awful. Don't ever try and memorize them.
Yeah,
I can second that one. They're stupid.
Yeah, because you literally he would point my instructor at a cadaver, and he would say, because we were down in the like anatomy portion of the embalming lab, and he'd be like, tell me what is the insertion point for this muscle and what it does and this, 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 this. And you had to be able to tell him specifically. So learning those things was easier if I was just kind of just derping around the house and I'd be like, all right, I guess I'm going to look at these flashcards, and then I would remember. So now I kind of have done the same thing with some of the judge materials. Like, I went through all the comp stuff, I went through the infraction guide, all those things, and kind of compiled the things that were important. And we're like, okay, if this happens, you know, what does this mean? Or what is a static ability? What is an activated ability? And just kind of going through those and being like, oh, I remember now the phases of a turn, you know, stuff like that. And so I have them in my backpack and I just kind of whip them out from time to time and I just kind of review them. And I think the more I do that, and especially if I do it before I go to sleep, the more I will retain. And I took a practice test last night and I had improved my score, like I said, about by almost 20%. And I'm like, yes, because I'm going through the test. I'm like, oh, I know what this is now. This is a replacement effect, or, oh, this is a this. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting it now. It's like finally sinking in. So like, I'm just super psyched. And he seems convinced that I'll make it through it and that I'll go all the way. And I'm just really hype about the whole thing. Like, I'm really excited about getting to know other judges in the area. I already met our regional coordinator and people seem really excited about having me kind of like join their ranks. So I'm just really psyched about, if I don't get to take the test before the end of the year, hopefully at the beginning of the year, I guess Blake will just assess like how I'm doing and see if I'm ready to take the test and then do whatever he's got to do in order to get that rolling. And I'm just very, very excited. Like, I actually wish today was Wednesday so that I was there and like learning more stuff.
You're that kid that like comes to class early and has like your little notepad out. Like Legally Blonde, when Elle Woods had her first day and she's just sitting there all smiling and nice and she has her perfect fresh new notepad and her sharpened little pink pencil and she's just, oh, this is great. And everybody else is like, yeah, this is terrible. It's the first day of school. And you're just, oh, you're just chipper and ready to learn. Like, I can just see you at the front of the class with your little hands folded.
Yeah, that was pretty much me. I'm like, what do we start? What do we do? I'm so excited. And Blake's like, yeah, take this practice test. I'm just going to be sorting some cards, doing some things. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm just excited to know that there's going to be more people coming this week. There was already people saying, yes, I'll be there for sure. And so I'm just excited to get to know all these other people that I haven't met before. Some of them I know, some of them I don't, to be like, oh my God, we're going to do this thing together. And this is going to be like really righteous. So I'm just really excited.
She said righteous.
Yeah, she did. I'm bringing it back.
I just want to point out that when Chris says that, like, you miss things in questions, unless you've taken like a judge practice test, because what I thought was like, when they were like, make sure to read carefully, I was like, yeah, I'll read it. I mean, I've taken tests before, I'll read it. And then you get your test back, and you're like, oh my God, I read it 6 times. How did I not know in that block of text? Because they're like paragraph-long questions, or sometimes mm-hmm. 2 paragraphs. So when she says, like, it's a reading comprehension test, it really is. I don't think I've ever given a test or heard of somebody taking a test who didn't, like, at least misread one question. Like, it's just a thing that happens, and they can be very complex, and maybe you just miss one word, and it's a completely mm-hmm. different question at that point. Mm-hmm. So, I feel your pain, Chris.
But be glad I'm not the judge, because you had mentioned that Blake was giving you questions that centered around burn. You know mine would be like judge questions, where it's like, if Susie casts Lightning Bolt on her Delver of Secrets, how many bridge triggers does she get? And you're like, huh? Or like, if you have 2 prized amalgams and 1 narcomoeba and then you do a blood gas trigger, how many prized amalgams do you get? Like, my test would be miserable, let's be honest.
I'm glad Aaron's not making the test.
Well, me too.
It was funny because one of the questions he asked me, he's like, this is a very important question. He's like, you play a lot of modern. He's like, let's say you control a Tarmogoyf. You have a Plains and a Sorcery in your graveyard. Someone casts Lightning Bolt. Does your Tarmogoyf die?
Nope. No. I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm like, it doesn't? And then just like when you think about it, you're like, oh, yeah. So, you know, just stuff like that. Yeah, he had questions about, like, Searing Blaze and Searing Blood and whipping out his burn deck and being like, oh, well, what about this card? So, yes, so I'm already on the roller coaster ride of fun for this, and I just look forward to more good times in the class.
Good. Oh, man. So this past week was my first week doing scheduled streams, and it's officially in the books. I'm almost at 400 subscribers or 400 followers on Twitch, which is amazing. So it's been happening really fast, and it's been really fulfilling. And it's been really, I had no idea how personal it was going to be. Like, I really thought it was going to be more impersonal. Like, I really thought it was going to be quite distant. Like, I thought it was going to be just me playing and people would happen to watch, and that's fine. Since I've been doing it, you know, there are people who, you know, they come for you. Like, you know, you do sort of cultivate your own community, and you can tell when you watch other streams too. Like, if you go in Gabby's stream, you know, her chat has a certain kind of aura about it and the people that she attracts. And, you know, if you go in Kenji's stream or if you go in Mulligan's stream, it's like they each have their own bubbles, like their own little communities. And so it's been really neat seeing people kind of come to mine and use the phrases that I use and love the decks that I love, or even the music that I play. Somebody will be like, you know, this is my song, or I love your music. And so it really does feel like you kind of have your own little petri dish that you're just sort of cultivating. And I just didn't expect that going into this. Like, I had no idea that I was going to form a relationship with these people or that they were going to form one with me. And it's been really neat sort of watching my little petri dish grow, for lack of a better word. And the one thing that I'm really surprised by is how passionate Twitch fans are about that freaking heading on your stream. You know, where you, like, announce what you're doing. If that does not match what you are doing, God help you, because they will come for your ass. Yeah. I had one night, I was facing something the other night, so I started off being Delirium, and then I faced this Jeskai control deck, which made me really stabby. And so I was like, I need to do something fun. I need to play something I love, because I was getting very tilty. And I was like, it was getting close to sort of my end times. I streamed till about 11:30, and it was like 11:05. And so I was like, let's close out the night, let's do some Dredge. So I put on some Dredge, and oh my God, excuse me, I came here for Delirium. This isn't Delirium. I was like, I know, but we're doing Dredge now. It's fine. Oh my God, people were indignant. How could you do this? That's just terrible. And I was just like, I was like, well, it's the end of the night. There's only like 15 minutes left. Oh no, they want it changed, and God help you. And so of all the criticism that I could have gotten as a streamer, I had no idea that that would be the thing that people read me for. They don't care about the music. They don't care about my camera angle, the lighting, my play mistakes, none of that. But that damn title better be right.
It's so true.
I was like, I just had no idea that that would be the thing that gets me in trouble. So I've definitely been making more of an effort, and you know, it's been a lot of fun. And I didn't have a really great weekend. I didn't do very well at FNM, but I did get a lot of good playtesting in versus Blue White Flash, so I feel much better about that matchup. I'm playing Delirium, of course, and so I feel pretty good about the Invitational. I can't believe it's next weekend. So I'm just really anxious to get in there, and I'm anxious to keep streaming. I just really want to try everything, and kind of the sky's the limit, so it feels really good.
Cool.
So. Awesome.
So, Hallie, you brought up a really interesting topic. Wizards announced the other day that they are going to be streaming exclusively with Twitch. They're going to have an exclusive partnership with Twitch. And I admit that I don't fully understand, like, what this means, so if you could, like, break it down for us, maybe?
Sure. So if you want more information about this, Hipsters of the Coast actually wrote a really great article about this. It's part of their What We Learned column. It's by Rich Stein. The article is called Wizards Announces Exclusive Streaming Partnership with Twitch. And basically, it's a reaction to Wizards' announcement that they're going to be exclusively using Twitch to stream outside of China and Japan. And I'm, like Rich, I'm not sure of what all the implications of this are. We're all from the U.S., and so I don't know what streaming is like outside of the U.S., even, you know, in Europe or even in other parts of North America. So I'm not sure exactly what this is going to mean for our international viewers, and would love to hear from them about, you know, whether or not this is something that this is a big deal to them, or something that will have, you know, noticeable effects on their viewing experience. But what I'm most excited about this is the fact that it opens up the opportunity for sponsorships and collaboration on sponsorships, which is something that Wizards mentioned in their announcement. I know a lot of other larger esports are bringing in outside sponsors to help, you know, generate revenue and improve their coverage. And that's something that hasn't really been an option for Wizards in the past. And I'm very interested to see, you know, what direction this goes in because of that. And if, you know, if our coverage can continue to expand because of those sponsorships.
Yeah, that might mean like more opportunities and more chances to get you on camera, which would be great.
Yes.
Because that's the goal. We want you on camera, Hallie.
Yeah, that is the dream.
Katie and Chris, do you have any opinions on this new partnership with Twitch that Wizards has?
I think it'll be pretty cool. I definitely want to see any changes that may come about based on it, whether or not quality will get better, whether or not this will change anything in relation to events that are being held, just because we haven't really had any big sponsorships or anything like that. So I just kind of want to see what happens as a result. But I'm optimistic, and I really think that this could be a very good thing.
Yeah, I'll admit that when it comes to Twitch, that is like a foreign language to me. Like, half the time I can't even get my stream to, like, do what I want it to do, and people are talking about, like, upgrading emotes, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. But I'm pretty excited to see what this entails. Like, I feel like this article gave us, like, a few clues what it could mean, but it didn't really seem like the Wizards of the Coast article or the Hipsters of the Coast article kind of said what it would mean for sure. Like, neither of them really stated what was going to happen going forward. And when I, when this article got brought up, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is a big deal or not. And Hallie was like, it is. And I was like, okay, I don't even know what it means. But yeah. I would love if they did coverage at every event. There's been a few events that people have kind of, you know, been up in arms about. Like, I wish there was coverage of this event. You know, it's really diminishing entertainment value when you're missing things where exciting things are happening and you can only get them through social media and only get snippets of it. Like, this famous person is playing this famous person and it's the battle of the century and everybody's like, oh, well, somebody take a picture of the board state or something. Yeah. So it would be good if more events could, you know, be streamed due to this sponsorship.
Yeah, I hope that, you know, I think quality is an issue. Like, there have been several times where the Twitch stream has not been viewable. Like, there's been a lot of skipping and a lot of buffering. And so, you know, YouTube has been the better option where it's just a smoother stream. I know a lot of people have Twitch blocked at work, so they're not able to watch Twitch. And watching mm-hmm. Twitch on your cell phone, again, is a little cumbersome compared to being able to watch on YouTube through your cell phone or even through your work computer. So, you know, if the stream, if we're doing it exclusively through Twitch, if that comes with maybe some quality improvements, you know, I'm all for that. The other concern I have is, of course, the lovely Twitch chat. Twitch chat was especially terrible this weekend when Emma was playing. I know I was in chat kind of busting skulls when I could, but, you know, Twitch chat is universally terrible. Even Gabby admitted the other day, you know, Gabby usually isn't one to sort of talk about those issues, but Gabby got really personal on her stream the other day and was like, I don't even look at chat anymore when I'm working a GP because it is so bad that I just can't do it. And so if there is going to be more subscribers or more viewers, you know, if this relationship is going to do that, I feel like they need to make sure that they're also increasing the number of mods that go along with it too, because that's going to bring, you know, more work for the few that they have. And the few that they have are quite good. You know, like, I love Ian Dixon and I love Squirrel Loot and things like that. So, but, you know, those small number of mods can't handle all of that. And that's sort of how these situations happen, is they just start to feel really overwhelmed. And so if more mods come into play, if the mods are taught better and all of that is there, then I'm all for that. But those were my main two concerns, was the quality of the stream and the quality of the chat, because those two things tend to be pretty bad. So before we go, Thanksgiving is this week, and I believe that we're all celebrating in some capacity, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. And so I thought it might be fun if we just kind of talk about some things that we are thankful for or that we are grateful for, especially with everything going on around us, which is very not good. I thought it might be fun to just focus on some things that we're really happy about and that we're really grateful for this year. And so, you know, Hallie, why don't you get us started? What are some magic related things that you are grateful for?
Well, I actually wanted to say that I'm grateful for our listeners and our community for the unconditional support that they've shown us, especially since, you know, we've gone through a few changes this year, some of which we've talked about on the show. I know after the coming out episode, I was just blown away by all the positive feedback that I got. Not that I was expecting negative feedback, but I was just so scared to talk about that aspect of my life, and it was really just touching to hear from all the people who either identified with what I was saying, felt similarly to how I did, or just, you know, wanted to show how much they supported me. And so I wanted to say thanks to all the people who reached out to me after that. And I love all of you and keep being wonderful.
I am thankful for two things. Well, probably way more than two things, but two things I'm going to talk about. One of the things is the creature collection on Star City Games, because I remember when, like, the first three creatures came out, and I was like, I hope they do this forever and ever, because I love all the cuteness that's happening. So that's kind of, like, an aside, but I really do appreciate it, and I appreciate all the art, and that they're actually, like, putting money into it and kind of continuing it. Because I love cute animals. I mean, who doesn't? So,
yeah.
And then the second thing that I'm thankful for, and also want to say thank you to, is all of the Modo programmers. They get a lot of shit, frankly, from a lot of people about Modo being, like, a horrible program or not working right or having glitches. And it does, and every program does. But for them to keep, like, leaving it accessible for people to play and to keep putting work in, and, you know, I do not see them really complain about all of the mean tweets and things that people say, and I don't know, I'm very thankful that they are still around and are still trying to make this game accessible for people who may only have Modo as a, you know, a means to play Magic. I listened to a podcast by Marshall Sutcliffe called The One for One, and he interviewed, I do not know how to say his last name, John Laux. Yeah, who used to be a programmer. And I had never really thought about, you know, the hardships that they go through. But if you've ever seen anybody program anything, it is not easy. So give them some credit. I mean, they are trying their best. So I just really wanted to say thank you to them, because I don't think they get enough love, because they get a lot of hate, frankly, from the Magic community. So I hope they know that somebody out there is appreciating them this Thanksgiving.
Sorry, I just love that, Katie. It's like, thank you. Thank you, Modo people. We love you.
We do.
Let's see. Things that I'm thankful for. First and foremost, I'm very thankful that at the beginning of the year, they banned Splinter Twin in Modern. Because I feel like it made Modern a lot more fun. And it's definitely made my year because of the many Modern events that I have gone to. And I would like to also see more either unbannings or bannings of things that are troublesome. But I don't know, maybe we're okay. I guess we'll see what happens in the new year. I also am thankful for plentiful events in the Midwest. I am happy that I was able to go to a lot of events and meet awesome people, play a lot of Magic, and promote the podcast, and just do all the things. Like, I feel like this year was very exciting. I feel like every year is just getting better in relation to me being able to go to events and do things I like to do in Magic. I'm also thankful for a great group at my local game store. I love them all to pieces. We all get along, we're all very helpful to one another, and I really wouldn't trade them for the world. And lastly, I'm thankful for just the Magic community in general. You have shown us the best of you, you've shown us the worst of you, and I love you all the same. And especially our fans that have been there for us and support what we do. It means so much to me, and I'm sure to everyone else, when you come up to us at events or tweet at us or send us DMs and tell us your feelings, your thoughts, how much you love the show. And it just means so much, and thank you for your continued support.
Absolutely. So I, you know, me being kind of the serious one of the group, you know, I'm always thinking of, you know, the numbers and then the promotion and the topics and things like that. And I'm working on that. And so, you know, the things that I'm grateful for are the people who, who want to work with us, the people who have allowed us to take this show that really is just, you know, a couple friends talking about magic and has given us an opportunity to either get paid for it or to turn this into other opportunities. People like Cool Stuff Inc., where we get store credit to do this show. Like we do this for fun. You know, we do this because we want to, and we're able to get free cards, frankly. and for an expensive game like this, that is such a boon to have. And we are so grateful for that. And so, also Card Hoarder, you know, Card Hoarder recently kind of sponsored me and has allowed me to borrow cards from them if I want to play Magic Online. Gathering Magic for giving us a platform, for letting us have our show on there, for promoting us, you know, for giving us that extra bit of reach to tell people who we are, and to, you know, put us in touch with Cool Stuff Inc., to put us in touch with Wizards of the Coast. Randy Bueller for wanting to work with us and picking us for the Community Super League. You know, Randy emailed me personally and said, I want to work with you and the girls. I want you on the Community Super League. And so, you know, anybody who's ever seen something in us that made them want to work with us, I am so grateful for, because there are so many shows out there. You know, if you go on MTG Cast at any given moment, there are dozens of magic shows. And so to think that people see something special in us and want to work with us and want to boost us really means the world, because you could have anybody, frankly, and you chose us, and that's really flattering. You know, Wizards of the Coast, you know, giving us the opportunities, plugging us on the Post of the Day, plugging us in the Community Super League, you know, giving us all highlights and interviews when they can. Again, seeing something special in us. And also Card Kingdom, you know, that we've been, you know, we've had some conversations with Card Kingdom about possibly doing some things with them, and even they have been just so open to wanting to work with us. And again, specifically wanting to work with us. You know, we love the Girlfriend Bracket. We are fans of you. We love Hallie. We love Katie. We love Chris. And so, you know, just to anybody who's seen potential in us, you know, and wanted to cultivate that, I'm really grateful for it, because, like I said, we have been given, you know, we're able to make money off of the show, and we're able to get store credit off of the show, and we've been able to get, you know, maybe a free t-shirt here and there, and just things that, like, again, we do this because we want to. We didn't set out to get free stuff. we didn't set out to make money, and we're very fortunate that we're able to do all of these things. And so I'm really grateful for all the opportunities that we've been given and that we continue to be given. Because it just feels, I mean, we've been doing this for almost 2 years next year, and I'm still kind of like, what is this? Like, pinch me. Yeah. So, you know, these are things that we did not imagine when we started 2 years ago. We did not imagine that we would have sponsors. We didn't imagine that we would be playing for, you know, 5,000 people on Twitch at the Super League. We just had no idea. And so, all of those things were just, I'm so grateful for, and hopefully, they keep coming. So I'm going to be playing in a standard showdown this weekend, one of the little standard events that they're hosting, Magic, that Wizards is hosting. So hopefully that goes well. I'm going to be streaming this week as usual, and I may. There's something called a Power 9 Challenge on Magic Online, and it's vintage.
Whoa.
Let me be honest with you. When I was building vintage Dredge, I literally got misty. It was so beautiful, and I was just, it was like a religious experience. Like, you know those people that see God in like a garage door or like in a cantaloupe? That was me. I was just like, I'm having a moment here. It was just so beautiful, and I was like, I can't, I'm not worthy. I can't. And they're like, you can. And I was like, I can't do this. And so if I can work up the nerve and if I can figure out what vintage is like, because I've never played vintage, I may do the Power 9 Challenge, and I may also stream it. So if you really want me to play vintage, it's vintage. I know nothing. I know not a damn thing. I know that I know that vehicles are seeing play in vintage. I know that paradoxical outcome, storm is a thing in vintage, but like, I don't know what these cards do. So, so if you hear this episode in time and you want me to do the challenge, let me know, and I will certainly consider it. It's vintage. I'm not worthy, Katie. I'm not worthy.
You, in that one sentence, saying some of the decks that are being played, like, knew more than I do. So, I mean, you're very suited for it then.
All right. Well, I mean, we'll see what happens. But it's very intimidating for me. So hopefully I can get over it. And if, you know, if I don't even do it this weekend, maybe another time. But I will definitely be streaming. I'll definitely be streaming on Thanksgiving. So if you don't have anything to do, come hang out with me, and we'll have a little gathering of our own. So if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, how can they find you all, and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalcanSan. That's HalcanSan. You can also occasionally find me on Snapchat and Instagram at HalcanSan. And this week for Thanksgiving, I'm going to be baking a lot, so you may see some pictures of cupcakes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I would like that. And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at MeanMugger. That's MeanMugger. Or on Twitch, I did remember to bring my webcam home, as well as my entire desktop computer. So there may be a stream this week. We will just have to see. I only brought one monitor, though, so and streaming with one monitor is pretty hard. But I bought the bigger of the two, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
As long as your Twitch headline is right, you'll be fine.
One time, I set my record to, 2-0, and it wasn't even the headline. It was, just in between the chat box and the webcam picture. And somebody joined, and they're like, what round are you in? And I was like, round one. And they're like, well, your thing says 2-0, so I don't know how that's possible. And I was like, I'm really sorry. That's from, 4 weeks ago. I'm not very up to date with stuff. But you might find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/meanmuggermtg. It might not be right, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at THKRIZ. My Gmail is YOTHKRIZ@gmail.com. My Snapchat is Cryptic Command with K's. My blog is backtablesmtg.wordpress.com. And I think that's everything.
When can we expect a new blog post from you, Chris?
I'm trying. I just have so many things that I want to talk about, and just doing the judge stuff now and everything else, I'm like, oh, I have to sit down and have peace and quiet to really get my thoughts. Sometimes I type it out at work, so I don't know. I will try, but I'm gonna be off the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday, so I will try to see if I can power out some stuff, because I do have a lot of ideas. I just have to get them all down and everything and make sure that it looks nice, because I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah, she should. I mean, yeah, her headline matches, I'm sure. And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalEstrus. That's OriginalEstrus. You can email me personally at OriginalEstrus@gmail.com, twitch.tv/OriginalEstrus. I stream every Tuesday and Thursday night. You can find the show, The Girl From Bracket, on Twitter at TheGFBracket, twitch.tv/TheGFBracket. You can email us with your questions or comments at TheGirlFromBracket@gmail.com, and we come out every Friday at GatheringMagic.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a safe holiday weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.